Thank you, praise team. Thank you, those who served, and thank you for those who set up. Appreciate it. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 121, the 121st Psalm. Last week, we finished our study of the wonderful book of Jonah. And in just a few weeks, we have Thanksgiving coming following Christmas. And so we'll have a Thanksgiving message, then we'll have a Christmas series. But in between, we try to find things that we can have some continuity with, but it has to be short because we only have a few weeks, much to the chagrin of all of you who have a lot of Christmas shopping to do for a lot of people. You got less than 3 months and it's Christmas, just to bring you some. Yeah, for all of you who have anxiety, I just caused a panic attack. But at any rate, we're going to be looking at six psalms that have the same title above them. They're called Songs of Ascent. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We're going to look at six different ones, and as we do so, learn some things that I think are wonderful things for us to learn as followers of Christ. So today, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Father, now is turn to your word. We turn to it because we want you to speak to us. We want to hear from you. We want to be encouraged in our Christian walk. Father, do that. And may our minds be attentive. May our hearts be open. May our wills be at your disposal. And Father, may you change us and make us more like Jesus. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalm that we just read, sometimes called the Traveler's Song or the Traveler's Hymn. And understanding that the book of Psalms was both the songbook and the prayer book of the Old Testament saints, some have called it the Traveler's Prayer. Whichever you might choose, those who first read it, saw in it the idea of travel, of going somewhere. With that being said, I'd like to suggest to you that the next time you go on a trip, that you read this psalm before you put your car in gear and take off down the highway. You might say, Pastor Dave, are you saying that we should read the Bible in the car before we take a trip somewhere? Sure. Why not? Reading the scriptures at any moment is encouraging and profitable. And what better time to read about God's watch care over you than when you plan to drive 70 miles an hour through Chicago with 50,000 other cars? It'd be good for you to know God's watching over me. Most of you would know the name of David Livingston from your history studies. He was a 19th century Scottish missionary, explorer, and abolitionist. In 1841, he arrived in Africa and spent the remainder of his life there, taking the gospel as far inland as he could on that continent. Now, you probably remember his story because of a famous meeting he had with Henry Stanley, where Stanley put out his hand and said, Dr. Livingston, I presume. And whether or not that actually happened, it's in all of our history books, and they all couldn't be wrong. When Livingston was first leaving England as a young man, going to Africa, which no missionary had really done before, his family was quite concerned, and they expressed their concern to Livingston. But Livingston stood on the boarding plank of the ship that he would take, turned around, took out his Bible, and opened it to Psalm 121 and read it to his family, as if to say, "Don't worry about me, family. The Lord is watching over me." You know, I think that's a great truth that I think we need to be reminded of perhaps a little bit more than we are. The psalm is the first of six psalms we're going to look at. There's actually 18 psalms called Psalms of Ascent, songs that were sung by the Old Testament saints as they left their towns or cities and they journeyed to Jerusalem to worship at the temple for one of the many festivals that God had commanded them to come together at. Now, going to Jerusalem was always going up to Jerusalem, not because of its elevation, but because of its supreme importance. It is there that God chose to put his name in the temple that was built for him. John chapter 2, verse 13 says, "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Now, if you and I were looking at that, Jesus is in Galilee, and he's going down to Jerusalem. But going to Jerusalem was always going up for every Old Testament saint. And therefore, these were psalms of ascending, psalms of going up. And as they traveled to Jerusalem, for example, for Passover, or for Pentecost, or for the Day of Atonement, they would sing as they traveled. And they would sing the psalms, particularly the ones we're studying in the next few weeks. And so we begin with Psalm 121. Three simple categories, easy outline today. Number one, who he is. Who he is, three words. Verse 1 and 2. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Now, certainly, this first point is not difficult to discern, but as always, it's imperative that we do so. I never get tired of discovering God in the texts of the Scriptures and on the texts of the Psalms, because he's everywhere. And in this psalm, first we see him as Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Whenever you encounter the word Lord in the Old Testament, and it's all in capital letters, that is a name for God that is translated in our English, Jehovah, translated in the Hebrew, Yahweh. We first encounter that name all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord," there we go, "that the Lord God made earth and the heavens." In fact, we find that word Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, 11 times in Genesis 2, 9 more in Genesis chapter 3. That's 20 in just the two chapters. But just for your further information, just to blow your mind just a little bit, that name is found 6,007 times in the Old Testament. So, it's the name that God chose for himself. When God commissions Moses to go to Egypt, when God meets him at the burning bush, you know that story. This is his instruction to Moses when Moses asked him, "What should I say? do I tell them? What name am I supposed to use for you? Exodus 3:15. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Thus the name Jehovah is God's self-declared name for himself to the Old Testament saints. And it's based on an even simpler revelation of God when he said to Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. And out of that came the name Jehovah, Yahweh, and so on. When we move from the Hebrew of the Old Testament to the Greek of the New Testament, it's the name that Jesus claimed for himself in the expression, I am. We read in John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And the very next verse says they picked up stones to kill him. Why? Because Jesus had just said, I am. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah God. I stand before you that way. Well, in these eight verses in Psalm 121, we find the name Yahweh, Jehovah, five times in eight verses, and he's referred to four other times with the pronoun he, Jehovah God. But secondly, he's not only Jehovah God, he's Creator God. Notice again, verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. All right, just a creative way for the psalmist to say that the God, Jehovah God, is the creator of the universe, an expression found a half a dozen times in the Psalms. But of interest to you and me, however, is the fact that that exact phrase is also found in the book of Revelation as those around the throne worship our Savior. Revelation 14:7, and he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. You know, that fascinates me for this reason. Forever in heaven, we will worship and praise God as the creator of this universe. In other words, his role as creator, even in all of eternity, will never be lost, will never be forgotten. So the psalmist wrote, and the Old Testament's saints sang. First of all, we praise you, Jehovah God. Secondly, we praise you as Creator God. And then thirdly, as Guardian God. Now, in the ESV that I'm reading from, we read from the verb to keep six times in eight verses. In other words, the verb that we would translate to keep in the English, used times in eight verses. So the fact that that happens, you should get your attention. You go, okay, the Lord's trying to tell us something in Psalm 121. Right? The verb to keep can also mean to watch, to protect, to guard, and to keep. In verse 5, we read, the Lord is your keeper. Now, other translations, the Lord is your protector. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is the one who watches over you. I like the idea of God being a guardian or a watchman. So who's the psalm speaking about? Who is the prime mover in this psalm? Jehovah God, the creator, the guardian of our souls, as we sang this morning. Jehovah God, Creator God, constant guardian. And I think it's important that you know that, because he is the one who's involved in your life every day. Every day. He doesn't send an angel. He doesn't send another person to do what the psalm declares he does. Jehovah God doesn't say to Gabriel, I'm tired today. I need somebody to watch those folks at Pleasant Prairie Baptist Church. You up to it today? No, he doesn't do that. He constantly is watching over us. This morning, as you listen to his word, Jehovah God, who's mentioned 6,000 times in the Bible, is right now involved in your life. Right now watching over you. The creator of the universe, who, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, who has 200 billion trillion stars, that's 2 with 23 zeros, to watch over, to name, to keep in the sky, watching over you. The eternal guardian is on duty in your life. Now, if that doesn't make you say just a little bit, wow, I think you're missing out a little bit on the who he is. Jehovah God, creator, watching over you. Wow. Secondly, what he does. Verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, to answer the question, what he does, we go back to the fact that Jehovah God, the great I Am, is also guardian God. He's the watchman. I said at the beginning that this psalm is often referred to as the traveler's song or the traveler's psalm. Part of that is because this psalm was sung millions of times every year as the Old Testament saints journey together to Jerusalem. I want to let that thought make you smile just a bit. I want you to think about this. The Lord Jesus, as a boy of 12, then in every year in his teenage years, and every year when he was in his 20s, sang this psalm as he traveled with Mary and Joseph and his brothers and his sisters from Nazareth to Jerusalem two or three times every year. The same psalm you just read with me, Jesus sung. All those that he chose to be his disciples and the women who faithfully followed him as young people all sang the same psalm as they traveled with their families and their neighbors and they met others on the road, people they didn't even know. This same psalm that we're reading. The Lord Jesus and his 12 disciples sang this psalm as they often traveled to Jerusalem together, including the last trip when Jesus knew that the cross was before him. He sang this same psalm. The Apostle Paul, in his early years as a devout Jew, observing every festival and holy day, would have sung this psalm multiple times as he traveled from Tarsus, he had quite a journey, all the way to Jerusalem and back. The same psalm we're studying. Millions upon millions of Old Testament saints sang this psalm on their way to the temple in Jerusalem. The same one we're studying today. And can you imagine as they travel the comfort and assurance and encouragement this psalm brought to every traveler on the road? I mean, just look at it for a moment with me. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In other words, look around you as you travel. Look at his creation. Look at the beauty of the lakes, the rivers, the woods, the desert. This is the one who created is watching over you. Verse 3 to 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Since 90% of those traveling did so on foot. What a great encouragement those two verses were. He's watching over your every footstep. And don't worry about what could happen to you at night, because your God does not doze off. He does not sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Whatever dangers there may be in the daytime or the nighttime, Jehovah God will keep you, will protect you, will guard you. Then verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord is watching over you to protect you, to guard you from evil, even a fatal evil. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Now, the chorus of an old hymn. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. But there's even more here. Verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. First of all, the Lord will keep you in your going out and coming in. Speaking of the daily, normal activities of every day. Think about it this way. In the days of the psalmist, the shepherd leaving home in the morning to go out and lead his flock and leading them back in the evening and returning home. The merchant going to the marketplace and selling his wares and then returning home at the end of the day. The Pharisee or the priest going to the temple at the beginning of the month and staying there for 30 days and then returning home at the end of the month. The mother going out to the garden or to the local bazaar and then returning home 6 days a week. You know, to use a phrase that we don't use very much anymore, it's a life that is so daily. And in the daily affairs of our life, we see in this psalm, not just the great trips to Jerusalem every year, but in verse 8, the daily trips as well. You're going out and you're coming in, watching over not only the festival trips, but the mundane ones. Think about it for a moment. Jehovah God, the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe, keeping watch over the mundane trips of his people. You might ask, why in the world does he do that? Zechariah 10:3. The Lord of hosts cares for his flock. The Lord of hosts cares for his flock. You might also inquire, well, this was a wonderful promise for the Old Testament saints, but what about his New Testament saints? Well, I'm glad you asked. We don't march to Jerusalem anymore, but we certainly go out and come in quite often. Number 3, who we are. Who we are. You know, many times in my sermons on Focus on the Word, I've encouraged you to make note of pronouns. Make note, special note of pronouns. Little words that help us to understand the Scriptures. Little words that are so easy to overlook. The psalmist begins not talking about the Old Testament saints, but talking about himself, How does this truth relate to me? The psalmist might be answering. Notice verse 1 again. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist is writing and saying, these are wonderful truths that I'm going to share with you. But they're not just for the Old Testament saints. They're for this writer of the psalm. They're for me. But then he writes, but it's just not for me. It's also for you. Now, did you see that this morning? I don't want you to miss it. So go back to verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Here we go. And I'm going to emphasize certain pronouns. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So, who is you and your? Easy answer. Every single person who's ever read this psalm. In fact, even for those who have never read this psalm and have not got to the place of understanding it yet, it's still true of them. Let me put it this way. A little baby, little tiny baby, can't walk, talk, or any of that stuff yet. Is that little baby watched over and guarded by mom and dad? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does the baby know that? No, not at all. Even little children are not aware of the wonderful watch care of mom and dad. Well, with maturity comes the awareness of the truth that mom and dad have been watching over me all the time. When you first come to Christ, you're mainly aware that you're a lost sinner with no hope apart from Jesus. And by his invitation to you, you cried out to him, asking him to forgive you of your sins and save you forever. And he forgave you and he saved you forever. And for both, you were eternally grateful. But then as a young Christian, you began to immerse yourself in the Holy Scriptures. And you began to find out the incredible work of God daily in your life after he saves you. You see, our salvation was not just a one-time visit by God. He didn't save you and said, well, I've got other things to do. Have a great life. No. First of all, he indwells you in the person of the Holy Spirit, whom he promised to send when he left. He said, all of my children will be indwelt by the Spirit of God. But even more amazingly, your heavenly Father watches over you every single moment of your life. Who do these pronouns speak of? You and me. Another hymn, an old one. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the stormy sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. Right now, October 5th, 2025, Pleasant Prairie Baptist Church in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Jehovah God, the Creator, the guardian of your soul, is watching over you. Each one of you, he's watching over you. And he'll watch as you get up and leave and travel home. And he'll watch as you sit around the dinner table. and he'll watch as you mindlessly watch football. And he'll shake his, no. And he'll watch as you lie down at the end of the day and sleep. And tomorrow morning, he'll still be watching you, ready as always for doing it the rest of the day. And the verse, the psalm ends by telling us, not only now, but forever. Whew. In other words, you know, you think, after I leave this life, I get to finally get to heaven. I got it made. I'm scot-free. Well, you are in heaven, but even forever, your Heavenly Father be watching over you. What is our right response to all of this? Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. All right. Let me give you a simple formula that describes your life. There it is. He watches, you worship. Four words. You can remember that. You can even write it down. He watches, you worship. He's watching you, you praise him, you exalt him, you worship him. You're grateful to him every single day of your life because there will never be one moment in your life when his eye is not on you. So, child of God, do you recognize your life? That's who you are. That's who he is. There's enough there to fill you with praise every single hour of every day for the rest of your being. Let's pray. Father, as we learn this simple truth from this short psalm that millions of people have sung for thousands and thousands of years, we come face to face with the wonderful truth that we've talked about today. Now, Father, it's good for us to be reminded of that. For when we sometimes feel all alone, we never are. When we wonder what in the world's happening in my life, you know and you're watching. And we may not always understand your ways, for you told us that your thoughts are not ours and your ways are not ours. We need to embrace that. But we can live a life assured that in every single moment, you watch over us. And so, Father, I pray that it would be a great encouragement today to every follower of Jesus, and that they would exult, rejoice, and what a marvelous thing you do every day of our life for us because you love us and care for us. We rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen.